Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is Monday, and I will be sharing true ghost stories from the web today. As always, to find episodes and links to social media, and ways to donate, and other ways to contact me, you can visit the podcast page, which is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. And always looking to hear from everyone, whether you have comments or questions on shows, or topic suggestions, or stories of paranormal experiences of your own or others that you know. You can always send those to me through the links on that page, and I will share them on the show if they're in written form, or if you would like to join me for an episode at some point to share your stories, you can let me know, and hopefully we can do that in Discord. That'd be the easiest way to do it, but we can do it another way if we need to, and just go from there. But yeah, so I was looking forward to hearing from everyone. So again, today I'll be reading some stories that I found online, and we'll go from there. So let me get the file open here. Thank you all, as always, for being here, whether you're here for the live stream, or you listen to the podcast feed, or to the YouTube videos. I appreciate it no matter what, how you listen, or where you listen. So, okay, so this first story says, this was a story told to me by my grandfather a few years before he passed away. My grandparents were both born in the first half of the 1920s, and they were brought up by parents and family who were very much Victorian in their ways. What you saw was what you got. They were both highly intelligent, honest, hardworking, and didn't have time for any nonsense. To say I was surprised by my grandfather telling me a ghost story is a massive understatement. He began by asking me, "Have we ever told you about the monk?" Anyway, my grandfather said that a few years beforehand, my grandma had gotten up out of bed at about 6 in the morning and made her way downstairs to make a pot of tea. This was her everyday routine, one she'd been doing each day of her married life for the past 60 years. My grandma walked along the hall towards the kitchen ahead of her, and on the way she saw my grandfather in the dining room on the right-hand side of the hall. She saw him by the sideboard wearing what she assumed was his dressing gown, with a hood up over his head. My grandma had called out, "Morning," and continued on her way to the kitchen. After making the pot of tea, my grandma had taken the tea tray into the lounge, living room I guess, and discovered my grandfather, dressed in his clothes, sat in his chair reading the newspaper. She had made a comment on how he'd gotten dressed quickly this morning, and confused by the comment, he asked what she meant. That's when Grandma had told him she'd seen him 5 minutes ago in the dining room, dressed in his dressing gown. She said that she'd called out to him, but perhaps he'd not heard her with that hood up over his head. My grandfather was now, excuse me, even more confused because he didn't even have a hood on his dressing gown. They laughed. The vent off, putting it down to hallucinations caused by deteriorating eyesight. But my grandfather said he was a bit worried at the time that it could be a sign of dementia. To a couple in their 80s, dementia is a far more scary prospect than seeing a ghost. My grandparents didn't talk about this strange incident again until the same thing happened to my grandfather sometime later. He had been to the bathroom on the which was on the opposite side of the lounge, and from there you could see half of the dining room. He told me that he had come out of the bathroom to return to the lounge, and as he walked across the hall, he caught sight of my grandma in her dressing gown with the hood up, walking towards the dining room window. By the time he reached the lounge, he realized that this was not my grandma, and so he headed into the dining room to investigate. There was nobody in the dining room, and my grandma was in the kitchen. My grandfather told me that he was immediately relieved that he'd seen the person in the hood too, because that meant my grandma wasn't losing it, and he believed that they had seen a ghost, and because of the hooded robe it wore, they decided it must be a monk. Hearing my grandfather talking about ghosts was great. It was a subject I never dreamed of discussing with him. Hearing this completely genuine person tell me they'd seen the ghost of a monk just solidified my belief in the paranormal. It scared me too, though. So that's the end of that story. And the thing that leaves me wondering, because I don't really know, I don't keep up with a lot of this stuff, but is, do they even make dressing gowns with hoods on them? just because that's what both of them thought they were looking at. I guess maybe just they were so surprised they just didn't think that, unless there are dressing gowns with hoods on them. I don't know. I've never really heard of that before. I thought that was a really interesting story. It didn't seem like this figure was threatening or scary in any way. It seemed like it was just there. So, but it's very interesting that the two people in that house saw at different times. Thought it was each other, and until they realized it wasn't. But not the worst sighting to have, I would guess. So, I've never really seen anything like that. I've seen the shadow a couple times, but nothing that looked like it was hooded. But yeah, I like that story. So this next one says, when I was about 12 or so, which is about a decade ago now, of course we don't know when this story was written, but I went on a vacation to Florida, and on the way we went to St. Augustine. We went to the fort there, but I did not know it was haunted at the time. During the day, we went, and as I was walking along the interior walls in the shade, still very much outside though, a message appeared on a wall. It was purple, and about a paragraph long. What it said, I do not know because it was not in English. I later recalled, though, it looked a lot like the old Spanish language. At first, I thought it was just an image being projected by an actual projector. So I looked behind me to try and find it. No projector was there. As I turned back to look at the message, it slowly faded away. I later learned it's a Spanish fort that housed and killed many Native Americans, and it's one of the most haunted places in America. I also later learned my family lineage a bit more and found out that I am both Spanish and Native American. My family has a long history in the Spanish military. On the other side, I have a great-grandmother that was full-blooded Apache. And that's where that story ends. And I've never heard of basically writing appearing on walls like that and then disappearing off of a wall like that. I thought that was quite the experience to have. I wonder, was there some kind of energy that caused something in the wall? Some kind of maybe whatever that writing was made out of in terms of the material, wouldn't be ink, but, you know, whatever the substance was that was used to make possibly those words, although it's interesting that it appeared and disappeared like that. I don't know, or if it was more along the lines of someone or some being out there in the area somehow sent this person, this writer, some kind of energy, some kind of message telepathically that appeared to them as though it was writing on the wall. I don't know. That one is an odd one. I never heard of that kind of thing happening before. So, these stories, you never know when one is going to pop up that's going to have something completely different that I've never heard of before. That's why I love doing this, because I've listened to a lot of stories and read a lot of stories, but still, things show up like this story that continue to surprise me. So, but very interesting. I have no idea what that means, or if that was a message directed at the person, the writer, the person that wrote the story. Obviously, they didn't understand it. But, yeah. I thought that was a interesting experience. So, we'll go on to the next one here. It says, I've experienced several ghostly things that I can't logically explain away in my childhood home. I think this one is my favorite. I had some decorative wind chimes hanging from the ceiling in my room. When I was maybe 16 or so, I began to notice them chiming randomly. There was no rhyme or reason to it. The chiming didn't sync up with my ceiling fan, the central air AC kicking on or off, or the wind outside. It didn't make sense, but my mind never went to anything paranormal. I told my older brother about it one day to see if he had any ideas on why it could be happening, because it was starting to annoy me. He didn't have any explanation either. A few days later, as I was trying to sleep, the chimes moved frequently, like at least once a minute. It was midnight, I was tired, and I'd had it. I stood on my bed, took down the chimes, and laid them flat on the floor on the other side of my room. That was that, and I finally was able to fall asleep. The next morning, I go downstairs and meet my brother in the living room. He tells me, "I see what you mean about the chimes." I asked him what he was talking about. He said that when he went up to bed the previous night, he heard my chimes going crazy. I then asked him what time he went to bed, and he said, around 2. And that's where that story ends. So, either the writer was mistaken about the time that they got up and took down the chimes, or something was somehow making the sound of the chimes, possibly even just for the brother, at 2 in the morning. That seems like the possibilities there. I don't know. Interesting. I wonder. The writer didn't say there was anything. There was any kind of attachment in terms of, like, it wasn't a set of chimes that the family had gotten them, or that was belonged to someone that they were close to, or anything like that. So I don't know what that is all about. But it's very interesting. I mean, I guess, I don't know. You have to kind of, I don't ever like to really second guess these stories a lot, because I think people, you know, obviously people are mistaken sometimes, but other times they're not. So just going off of that, just taking it for what it is, the chimes were down at the time that the brother heard the sound of the chimes. I wouldn't think that they could be making a lot of noise on the floor, especially without waking up the writer. They were in that room with the writer. That's a good story. So we'll go on. And this one says, so when I was about 10, I was on vacation in Colorado. I don't remember much about the vacation, but I remember this fairly vividly. We were eating at a restaurant outside of a hotel, and there were stores and shopping areas around us. So there was this restroom for people to use. You opened up a double door, and there was a long hallway with a men's and women's restroom at the end. I went to use the men's restroom, and when I went inside, there was a woman standing inside with a clipboard. I asked her what she was doing in the men's restroom, and she replied, "Just doing inspections. I'll be in the hallway when you're done." I went into a stall, and as I was going to the bathroom, the stall door started to bend inward, like if someone leaned up against it or pushed on it. When I went back into the hallway, there was no woman. Later that night, I asked my grandpa if that restroom was creepy or weird, and he said he felt some type of presence. I'm glad it happened, though. It opened my eyes a bit that there's more stuff in this world than we know. Now that one, again, it's hard to, the woman could have possibly been just a regular person. I don't know that there was anything strange about that. But, if they had already left the room, then that doesn't explain what made the bathroom stall door, you know, what made that move. At least not that I can think of or that I know of. So, but yeah, bathrooms are not an area you want to have experiences in like that. Especially not while you're in there, I'd imagine. But again, it does seem like there's a lot of stories about things happening in bathrooms or in kitchens, and what do both of those have? They both have running water, or the water going through the rooms. So, it's really interesting that so many stories happen in those kind of places. And this sounds like it was in the middle of the day, which is interesting. At least not totally at night, so. But yeah. That was a quick one, but I don't know. And my console just turned on, but it'd take too long to go turn it off. Anyway. Hear an extra noise, that's what it is. I apologize. Guess I'll have to unplug that from now on before I start these things, too. So this next story says, we were staying on the most haunted deck, deck B, room, it says room, but they don't know for sure it was that room. And apparently this was on the Queen Mary. And it says, this was years ago. I barely remember details like that. My family and I had taken a ghost tour, and afterwards, we had rewalked the route and done our own investigation. We never heard the, apparently there were reports of babies crying, or never smelled the cigar smoke, like they told us on the tour, but we did see flickering lights only on camera and only in the door of Winston Churchill's room, apparently. While I was sleeping, I would wake up every night at exactly 3:33, which I thought was weird in itself. And on the last night, I saw a large built man standing in the light from the window of our room that shone on the wall. I had no idea whether he was outside or in the room watching me. Who knows what would have happened if we'd have stayed another night. So there we have another short story about the Queen Mary ocean liner that's in California. And it's got an interesting history. I believe I've covered it before, at least part of it anyway, in a previous episode. Definitely, it's known as one of the most haunted places in the U.S. So, shadows forms that comes up a lot, obviously. But, it's interesting they didn't know for sure where it was at. They just saw the shape. So, I don't know what to make of that. But, not the first story, and won't be the last, I'm sure, from that boat. So let's see here. Okay. So this one says, this happened when I was 13 years old, spending the Christmas holidays in a rural part of France. My parents are French, and I was born in France, but I grew up in Canada since I was 2 years old. We spent a lot of summer and winter holidays there. I was staying with relatives of mine in their house when this happened, which was a very old farmhouse. One particular day, my cousins and I decided to stay inside for the day because it was snowing heavily. We spent most of the day just wasting time and horsing around. A little later in the afternoon, my older cousin and I went up into the attic together because she was looking for something, and I followed her because I was curious to see the attic. There was a lot of stuff up there that interested me, like old books and some antique items. Once she found what she needed, I asked her if it was okay if I stayed up there for a while to look around. She giggled and said something to the effect of, "Why? It's just a bunch of old stuff up here. But yeah, if you want to." I spent about half an hour walking around, looking at stuff until I happened upon some old book from the early 1800s that seemed intriguing to me because I was, or am, a bit of a literature nerd. I sat down and read it for a little while before deciding that I wanted to take it back to my bedroom to read every night before bed. When I closed the book and went to stand up, my gaze immediately shifted over to a woman who was sitting in a chair on the left side of the room. This briefly startled me at first and made me gasp because I had never seen her before and I didn't hear her come into the attic. She was wearing very old clothing, had long blonde hair, and she was quite pretty. She looked like she was somewhere between 25 and 30 years old. She didn't look solid, though, and it's hard to explain exactly what I mean by that. She wasn't like the stereotypical Hollywood translucent ghost, but she had a certain opaqueness about her that tells you on an instinctual level that you're not looking at living biological, or not looking at a living biological entity. She smiled and said to me, "Sorry if I scared you, dear." At this point, I didn't feel any fear or apprehension at all. This apparition radiated a kind, warm, and positive energy that I could somehow feel right down to my core, and I felt safe in her presence. It was a very brief encounter. Around 5 seconds after she spoke, she stood up, walked about 7 feet to the right of the room, and faded away mid-stride. I just silently sat there, dumbfounded, for a few minutes. When I left the attic, I was hesitant to tell anybody about what I saw, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. A few days later, I decided to privately ask my youngest cousin about it. She was 8 years old, and I figured that younger kids are usually a little more open to things like this, and less judgmental than teenagers and adults. To my surprise, she was quite candid about it. When I asked her if she had ever seen a lady who appears out of nowhere, she responded, "Do you mean the blonde lady?" When I nodded, she then said something to the effect of, "Yeah, I see her sometimes. It's okay, she's nice." She told me that she had been seeing her since she was about 5 years old. We didn't really talk much more about it, and I didn't tell anybody else what I had seen. It's something that will always vividly stick in my memory, because it was so surreal, and I can still visualize her face when I close my eyes. I never did find out who she is. The fact that the farmhouse was very old would lead me to believe that she most likely lived there at one time. I don't think that all ghosts are forlorn spirits yearning for something. I have read stories about some that come across as harmless and seem happy. Maybe some of them occasionally enjoy visiting places where there are a lot of fond memories for them. And that's where that one ends. And I like to think that's that writer was right about that. Maybe sometimes spirits just stop by places that they were familiar with, and just to visit, and then sometimes that leads to encounters like that. So, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting one. At least it was a nice encounter. It wasn't anything too scary. Startling, for sure. But, yeah. So, neat story there. I like stories like that where it's nothing too terrible. So, let's see here. I think I'm going to stop here today because it looks like the next story is pretty long. Maybe the next two stories are pretty long. So, I think that will be it for today. But thank you all for being here and for listening. And I'll be back tomorrow night with more True Ghost Stories from the Web. So have a good night. Thank you.